Parents, come closer to the radio, my friends, because help is at hand with the wonderful Maggie Dent, who's back again. Welcome back, Mags.
Hi, guys.
Good to see you, Maggie.
So, Maggie, you've got a conference happening on the 15th of February, Back to Nature Through Play. I love this.
Yeah, seriously.
Getting the kids out of the house and getting them dirty again.
Climbing trees.
Yeah, and you know, there's so many really, really good reasons. We have to be really proud of WA. There's some things we do dodgy, don't we? But really are doing this really well. We're leading Australia. Hats off to Griffin Longley and Tracy Blazkoff at Kids Safe WA.
Yep.
And in schools we're doing it now. We're letting them get back up those trees and slide down those banks because we've got so many delays in our kids. Yeah. They've got what we call very poor proprioception, which means they don't know where their body finishes. See, he couldn't have played footy with lousy proprioception. And if his vestibular wasn't good, yours would be good, wouldn't it? But it's also that risk-taking. You know, we've got kids who aren't very brave. And I'm really, really sure that if we get them back outside where they can be the boss.
Yeah.
We micromanage
and just letting them do their thing, like giving them the stuff and that saying go for it, and just letting them instead of trying to control every aspect of it.
Growing up, Sean, as boys, we're allowed to do anything,
and girls
too. Exactly,
us girls were a lot freer.
No,
which is why we're
just
tough.
Bring it back to us for a second, Maggie.
No. The boys were, and it was back at the time. The boys were allowed to do anything they wanted.
Yeah, I had
the
pretty
girls
feral
were
boys.
More.
Mine were feral.
Absolutely, but one of the things that I'm doing, well, I have been trying to do for a while, is because they'll come home and they'll jump on the Xbox, right?
Yep.
And you know, Black Ops is what they're playing.
Yep.
But I'll say I'll give them a certain amount of time, where it's 20 minutes, 15 minutes. Get outside.
Yep.
And as soon as they get outside, their imagination starts coming in there. And I love to go out and watch them, you know, bow and arrows and stuff that we used to make. Guns and fake guns and stuff.
They create scenarios and everything.
It's
and
great.
Brilliant. Those are the sorts of things that imaginative creative thinking, that's what's getting shut down by just too much.
Oh, my God. Did you hear the story just recently where a kid was suspended from school for playing with an imaginary bow and arrow?
Oh, no.
In America. But
I'd have to be
still.
America. No, we wouldn't do it here.
Insane, Maggie.
No, but I've had to step up and argue why you can't. Sunshine Coast last year, banning cartwheels and handstands.
Yeah.
Oh, what?
So, you know, once again, when we really got in there, the reason was the principal said the parents were so worried the kids will get hurt. And this is what we have to let our parents know, that sometimes when we hurt ourselves because we make a lousy choice, we need to know we made the choice.
Stop buying a car and not wanting to get the tyres dirty.
That's it.
Like, you know what? Yeah. It's going to get dirty.
But there's one other thing too. We've got an epidemic of anxiety, and the latest figure around, you know, young 16 to 24-year-olds and well-being, 26% have mental illness.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, if you get them back out playing and being feral and having autonomy and being brave and ferocious and pushing themselves to the edge of their fear, we'll have healthier kids on all levels, and that's what I'm incredibly passionate about.
Maggie, Roxy from Ridgewood needs your help. Morning, Roxy.
Morning, guys. How
Hi,
are you?
Roxy.
Great, Roxy.
What's the problem, Rox?
I have a very aggressive 2-year-old. So aggressive that his daycare cannot accept him back.
Oh, Roxy.
Yeah. It's gone to the point where, I really don't know what to do, and I'm really afraid that he's going to turn out to be one of these, you know, children that go off the rails.
Yeah, sure.
Roxy, we all think that about our children when they're revolting, so hang in there. Don't go down that alleyway.
It must be frustrating, Maggie, when you look at your partner and look at yourself and go, this isn't
Where
us.
Is this coming from? Exactly.
Okay, so let's start with his age. His age, for a start, the core business of 2-year-olds is to be peed off about everything that they don't like, which is pretty much every boundary and every guidance that we give them. That is their core business. They're meant to be pushing up at those boundaries. So, and that's why at times it's frustrating, you know, when we work with them, because they just respond to feelings. They have no rational logic at all. So just know that we can't appeal to logic because it isn't there. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you've got a little boy, and little boys are often a little bit more behind girls at that age in terms of responding to language. And if we're constantly, don't do that, do that, don't, you know, what happens in the end, if a little boy can't win, he just gets aggressive. He gets aggressive because where can I win? I can't win anything here.
Yeah.
So I want you to think about just a few very clear things, not hitting other people, not throwing toys and hurting property as well, and also trying to be careful around the other values you have in your life. And then the rest of it, I want you to let slide a bit. I want you to let slide untidy rooms. I want you to let slide how he pushes his food all over his face. And I want you to just focus down into a few things so that he's got an area to learn some of those structures and guidelines. And then secondly, you have to be able to get through to him without using many words, Mum. Too many words makes a two-year-old.
I know, he just stares at me blankly.
No, he does, because they can only handle 10
words
when
they're a bloke. You know what, that never
changes. So, you should see me in a meeting, Roxy.
So at two, he's trying desperately to get your love. And so I want you at different times just to screw your face up when he's about to do something that you're not happy with, so he can get a cue off you that's not okay.
So show him emoji style.
Yeah, emoji style. They get that, actually.
Show him, don't say it.
Yes, show him. And then just do little faces that you're not happy, and then he might be able to self-correct a bit. But when he thinks you're going to bust him, it breaks his little heart. So that's the other thing. The other side to it is, how can I build stronger heart connections to him? And I've written an article, and there's a couple of video blogs on my website called Micro Moments. And I want you to work out, how can I build stronger little connections that he feels more secure and loved?
Yeah.
Because all two-year-olds are getting busted, and the rooster-dominant kids get busted more. And then when they're a boy and they think that's all I am is getting busted, and you can't love me if you bust me, then it creates a very angry child. And the angry child then transfer the anger into any of their situations, their play situations.
Mm-hmm.
So does that give you a few things? There's lots of little tips on my website. So go and have a little look on there under boys and get a few tips. And then start little changes, but I'd try anything you can. Can you tickle his high up on the back of his neck, like little circles? Do that a little bit more often, because it brings them down from the cortisol aggro tank into kind of a serotonin calm.
A lot of women will be calling. Does that work on men as well?
No, I think it works really well on women.
One thing that I do find is, and it gets me annoyed as well, is everything is funny to him.
That's just a response to feeling frustrated and angry. So boys express their feelings through either laughing inappropriately, and heck, I'm sure the blokes in here do it every day, really. It's the reason they're the number one show, isn't it, really? And he's too young to know that's inappropriate, not okay. So that's a social and emotional skill that he'll get better at, or else they just act out. They're not good at saying, oh, golly, I'm feeling really overwhelmed and I'm vulnerable right now. They can't do that. So don't growl at him at that. But one of the things I do want you to do, if he's about to hurt other children and you're nearby, and same to wherever he goes to, is reach over and hold his hand as he's doing, and saying, I'm not going to let you hurt that child. And hold his hand so he can't hurt them. And that's all you say in a quiet voice. I'm not going to let you. Sometimes they need us big people to help them from developing exactly the habits you're talking about. Because if that's what he's done it before, he actually needs you to hold him there.
And that'll stabilise him.
That stabilises him so he can't hurt that person. Because right then he needs your help not to hurt another person. He's not bad. He's just struggling with big, ugly feelings, and he's not coping with the things that are happening in his world.
Oh. Okay. He's got a 4-year-old brother that does the same to him.
Hello.
Yep. Sorry, he's really just mimicking.
Yeah, so exactly the same sort of thing. We learn by modelling. Mm. So you're going to have a family meeting and have a talk about what is okay and what isn't okay, and what does it look like. I'd role play a bit, because they're not very good at words.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Hope that helps and gets you going, Roxy. Good,
thank you, Roxy. Thanks, good Roxy. Luck. Go to Maggie's website, maggiedent.com, for some more help. Let's go to Paula in Frio. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Paula.
What's your question for Maggie?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you, Maggie, because your books have changed my life.
Aww,
and
so nice.
I tell everyone to look at your website. But I still struggle all the time, because I'm a teacher.
Yep.
So first of all, I want to say keep out the education system, because it's really disturbing, but we won't get into that.
We won't go there today.
No, we won't go there today. But because you were talking about nature play, I've got actually two little girls, and one is, we're both quite tomboyish, but I've also got little nephews that I'm with all the time. We go to the nature playgrounds and you know, we do all those things and lots of experimental play, but no matter what happens, one of my nephews in particular wants to make a gun, will make a gun out of anything.
Yeah.
And you know, so I just wanted some advice.
It's a great question.
In the classroom.
Yeah.
Because in the classroom.
Yeah, they'll make guns too.
Yeah, well, ruler.
Yeah,
like a finger, anything.
But at school, like as a teacher, you know, our job is to say, okay, that's not okay, but in the past. we were taught. That's what we were taught. So there's a real conflict there, and I just wanted to see if you could explain what. How do we handle that?
Hey, Paula, just before Maggie gets into it, so that story we spoke about earlier about the kid getting suspended in America for using an imaginary bone arrow, are we not far away from that here?
I worry that we're not far away from that.
Really?
I really worry. I worry.
Gee, that's terrible.
I worry that we're...
Okay, I really want to jump in here because this is one of my big passions. Sure. You know that, because one of my passions is to help parents raise our beautiful little boys to be good men, not dickheads. And so one of the things that happens is we stop allowing them to do the things where they hurt themselves because they jump off things and go, wow, that wasn't a very good choice. Okay, and they need to have the old wooden seesaw to smack them in the chin sometimes. Oh,
yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, sometimes that's a great wake-up call. But the one about the boys around guns, and I think any mum who's got sons would have had the thought like I did, oh, gosh, I'm never going to buy them a gun, and then found out they were doing it. And also the same around their superhero play is we're stopping them, allowing them to do that often in our early years centres, because there's a perception that if they have a cape on, they'll actually take a bigger risk. But boys just do it without the cape, don't they?
Sure.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is there's an archetype unfolding in little boys. It starts with their superhero play and it starts with the gun play. And what it is that there's still a biological wiring inside our men to be the defenders and protectors. It is still there. It's passed on from caveman days. So essentially, when they're pretending to kill baddies to save goodies, it's an archetype that lets you on that journey to become a good man. And quite often you'll find, if you listen to their language, they're really wanting to defend and protect.
Mm-hmm.
So you need weapons.
Yeah.
So essentially the reason they run around with the makeup guns is essentially I'm practicing being the big warrior to protect those that are less. And we need to see that as a developmentally okay and appropriate
thing. And it's a positive.
Thing.
That just sounds adorable.
Rather but, than they're not the kid that's going to go to school with a gun and shoot
seeing.
Them
we
up.
We keep shaming a boy behaviour or even tomgirl behaviour. And the same with sticks. Boys have fascinations with sticks.
Yeah, we do.
And sometimes you'll find them under the bed. Lots of them.
Yep.
Now, they see a stick not just as a weapon. It becomes something that's...
A wand.
That's, it's all sorts of things.
I call it a wand.
Yeah, you've still got yours, haven't you, Nathan?
Do.
So I really think we have to have conversations that these are some of the things that are actually not bad. They're bad if they shove the gun into kids' faces and hurt them. They're bad and wrong if they're going to use the stick to hurt people. But if they're using it in their play, there's some things going on in there that are going to help that boy... Mm. To realise that, yes, I am still wired to be that thing, but I need to know where are the boundaries around that.
Yeah.
But if we shame
that's really helpful.
We shame them. We set them up to be ashamed of a drive that's, you know, not all of them can play sport.
Boys have their sticks.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, what's wrong with me with a stick at a door saying, Expecto Patronus?
Yes.
Spellianus. Spellianus. Other such spells in Harry Potter.
And the imagination.
You're a grown-up, Nathan.
So the imagination is the other part that helps to develop a boy that can actually create things. Now I'm worried that they're just doing so much gaming and killing zombies. We're not going to have real in the real world. We're going to have this virtual dumb world of, you know.
Yeah, no creation.
Everyone there's hashtag free the stick.
Free the stick.
Free the stick. Let's get that started for Maggie Dent.
Alison from Belldivers, it's your turn. Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
Ali. What's the problem?
I have got 7-year-old twins. Ooh. I've got a Yeah, I've got a boy and a girl, and my boy is quite, he's normal, little, you know, plays with his finger guns, does everything like that. I know, the last conversation had me giggling. But, my 7-year-old daughter is, she's special. She is really high-spirited, really on the go all the time, little girl, but... She just, to me, seems so sensitive to everything. She cries at the drop of a hat. If I don't keep her entertained all the time, she just seems to fly off the handle. And, you know, if you say something to her, she'll run to her room screaming, everyone doesn't like
How
me today.
How exciting. Wow. You've got a dramatic daughter. Everything's a drama. How exciting.
It's
like you're in a movie.
It is. Everything is so dramatic. But she is an amazing little girl. Like, she does dancing and she does solos and she
You know
does
what? She's going to make some gay man a great best friend when she gets older.
So the drama queen, Maggie. What do we do with the drama queen?
Oh, Ali, look, sadly, we know that temperament kind of turns up at birth.
Yes.
And so somewhere in your genetic lineage, somewhere you've had a few drama queens. Now, the sensitivity...
That would be me.
She's got
got a great teacher. Great teacher.
How's your gay best friend going? He must love you.
Okay, Ali, so at least you can identify it. So don't take her behaviour personally. This is just something that's innately in her. But also do not handle it at the time. So when she does the, oh, my God, and then races to her bedroom, don't follow her. Don't follow her. And remember, when the cortisol's overcharging, we're all a bit revolting. So wait till everything calms down. And that's where you've got to pick the time to have a quiet conversation with her, saying that when we do get upset and frustrated, we have big, ugly feelings. You know, in our home, we can probably do that. But what would you do in a classroom if that happened? And because that's really different. So we have to talk about building strategies and skills for her to manage the disappointment. And I'd have a lot more birthday parties with Pass the Parcel with only one prize winner, because she needs to learn how to lose. She's got to really learn to suck up disappointment when she doesn't get her own way.
Don't you hate that these days? Everyone wins. Oh.
I hate that everyone wins. That really drives me bonkers.
My favourite would be one that no one wins. Yeah. And they keep just looking for it. But now there's nothing in there. Eat life, kids. Eat it up.
Ali, our girls are really wired to be over a little bit more emotional. And so once again, being able to model with what you're doing with your big ugly feelings will help as well.
Yes.
Teach with taking those three breaths before we react. Teach her to take three breaths before she reacts to hopefully calm that down just a tiny bit.
That's dramatic.
And I would say, don't worry, she's seven. You know, seven doesn't have much of a prefrontal. So every now and then I want you to just step her aside and say, now, if that happened in the dance thing, what would you do? So what?
Jazz hands.
You know, she
great phone, great phone. I hate money.
Jazz hands. Jazz hands do fix everything.
Yeah.
And ultimately, this is really quite normal, and it's one of those sorts of things she'll get better and better at. But aren't you lucky that you've got that little boy?
Wait till she's 14, Ali. Wait till she's 14.
You're going to have the best life. I can't wait.
She'll be organising you like mad.
You should be terrified.
I am terrified for you, Ali.
That's brilliant, Ali. Good luck.
Good luck, Ali.
Let's go to Alan from Ballajura. Morning, Al.
Hi, how you going?
Hi, good Alan. Alan.
Now, what do you need Maggie's help for?
I've got two boys. One's 10, got autism.
Yeah.
The eldest one's 12, and he's the trouble child.
In what way?
Well, he goes... He asks to go down to the park, which is fine. We send him down there on his bike and that. But then when we go to find him or get him, he's always at a friend's place.
And he never tells you.
Never tells me where he's going. Yep. We've grounded him several times for riding without a helmet and actually going to a friend's place without telling us.
Yes.
Is that normal or are we too harsh? Or
okay, look, I just want to say well done that you've got your 12-year-old that's brave and capable enough to be able to do that. Awesome, that's fantastic. We've got a lot of them cloistered on couches at the moment, so your boy's actually going to have
you're right.
This
it's very
resilience.
Rare that you hear someone saying, "Oh, the kids are allowed to go
now,
down
I am
the
gonna,
park on a bike."
Yep. I am going to say that what happens to a boy when he actually leaves to go to the park, that is his intention, but he gets this other great idea.
Yeah.
Or somebody says, why don't you come? And he's completely forgotten that he needs to update you. So quite often that's actually not a malicious thing. That's actually
a boy. So he's not sneaking around.
No.
Boys
don't always deliberately break rules. They just forget. And forgetting is a really big thing. So it's about us having those gentle reminders. And could he, you know, once again, if he goes to a mate's house, could perhaps, you know, we need that family to say, just send me a text to say he's over here and I'm fine. Because we need him to grow in independence. He's on the journey to becoming a man. I know it starts at 12, it starts actually a bit earlier. So we don't want to start punishing him for expanding and becoming more independent.
Okay.
And yet we need him to know that that causes us worry, because we want to make sure he's safe. And there is a responsibility that we need to know where he is, and that's okay. So rather than ground him, I just keep reminding him, because I guarantee he did not say, good, now I'm going to really pee off mum and dad and I'm going to go over to my mate's house, because they're not that sharp.
He's just a busy kid. He's got things to do.
Yeah, and he's got things to do, and he's firing up. And I'm thinking, this is a healthy 12-year-old boy. And you need to be able to go, yes, that's great, but little reminders around the edges. But then if he does break the serious rules, thumps the hell out of his little brother or, you know, smashes up something.
His little brother thumps him.
Oh, okay.
Perfect.
But Maggie, what happens if you're setting your own family rules? Yep. And that's one of them. If you were going to go to somebody's house, you have to let us know. And that, you know, exactly what we're talking about with Alan. And
he keeps on misbehaving.
Where do you draw the line there?
If he's 12 and it's about competence and stretching autonomy, I actually would see that as a child-by-child decision to make. because if you hold them in now, they're going to push back and rebel more and tell you less and less and less on that journey. Whereas if we say, look, it's okay, I know your friend's house, but please don't go to a stranger's house. Yes. Please don't go off in a direction that we don't know is familiar. So if you want to, you know, once again, we'll talk about those sorts of things.
Yes.
But it's the big stuff. You've got to save your big guns for the big stuff, the stealing, the punching people out.
And
the
if there is something big like that,
school. Yep.
Is grounding a good punishment?
For boys, yeah, well, basically I'd take off whatever thing they loved the most. And boys, it was a surfboard, you know.
Xbox.
Technology.
What if they really love their mum, put her in the shed for a week?
No, don't take mum away. But
something I think you've lost your mother for a week. There you go. Now get in the...
Have you learnt your lesson?
Get in the
now?
Back shed, Karen. Yeah, she can take some water.
One of my lads is such a sugar freak. And I said to him, I really had to pull him in because he was a feisty little rooster. And I said, well, there's just no sweets, babe. No sweets for a week. And he brought that up at my 50th as the toughest thing.
Wow. That's a punishment.
So you've got to work out what is it that's going to hurt the most.
Search for your children's kryptonite.
Yeah, kryptonite. That's it. You've got to work out what it is. Yep. And the other one, the other one was his skatey. They was like, no, you can't take my... I said, no, this is really not okay. You've had two warnings. This is the third one. I need to pull back to say this is what's... So work out the thing without being, and once again, remember, keep that relationship. Save it for the big guns.
All right. Thank you, Alan. And thank you, Maggie. We always love having you in. It always feels like we don't have enough time with you.
Everyone we just spoke to is getting a Maggie Dent calendar.
And that Back to Nature Through Play conference is happening in February. Yeah. MaggieDent.com is Maggie's website. There is all the info about your upcoming events, but also just
lots
heaps
of
resources.
Yeah,
check it out. It is great reading. Thank you, Maggie.
Thanks,
my pleasure. Maggie. Take care, guys.